Try that one. Use that one. Use this one.
Now we're up to item 7, our consent agenda. There are 3 items on the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull one? Anyone in the audience? Okay, seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 8. Item 8A, this is financing for the 75-foot Quint fire apparatus. Number 1 is acceptance of capital finance bid proposal from Cogent Leasing. And if we do accept the financing, then we would move on for item 8A2, which is approval of resolution 2024-20, authorizing the town manager to proceed with entering the lease purchase finance agreement. And we will be discussing both items 8A1 and 2 together. So I will ask our attorney to please at this time read resolution 2024-20 by title only. And after that, we'll hear the staff report and council consideration and then open discussion to the public. And after that, that's when we will entertain motions. So, Cliff, if you would.
Yes, Madam Mayor, resolution 2024-20, read by title only. Resolution of the Town of Ponsonant, Volusia County, Florida, authorizing the execution and delivery of a lease purchase agreement with Cogent Leasing and Financing, Inc., with respect to the acquisition, financing, leasing, and purchase of a 75-foot Quint fire apparatus, authorizing the execution and delivery of documents required in connection therewith, authorizing all other actions necessary to the consummation of the transactions contemplated by this resolution, providing for severability and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. Chief?
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of Council. As you may recall, at the September 19th Council meeting, we were initially going to consider evaluating or awarding a proposal for financing the purchasing of the Quint fire apparatus. At that meeting, council directed staff, they rejected all the bids and directed staff to repost the finance RFP in hopes of getting a more favorable interest rate from providers, which we did. What you have before you this afternoon are 4 of the submittals. 2 of them are qualified, 2 are not qualified. 2 of them did not satisfy the RFP requirements and therefore were not evaluated. 2 other proposals were. And as you can see, staff evaluated both of those and Cogent Leasing came out on top as the favorable provider. The council also requested that we get 7 and 10-year finance options, which we did, and you'll see those options there. So basically tonight, or today, hopefully not tonight, this is your consideration, your recommendation on how you would like to proceed. I will tell you that staff did contact or attempt to contact the 5 references for Cogent, and we spoke with 3 that were using Cogent. All 3 of them were very satisfied, said that they were very responsive, easy to work with, and that's one thing that we noticed as we were pulling documents together for this meeting on short notice in advance of Milton. They were very responsive in getting information to us. So with that, I'll answer any questions I can, and there you go.
Well, let me start with Gary.
No questions.
No, none.
Skip.
Yes, just a few. And again, this is kind of just cleaning up a few things for me. If you look under the Cogent agreement, the net obligations, and it says insurance. So if you go over to page 3, it talks about the replacement cost of the equipment. So I guess my question is, do we know what the insurance cost will be? And originally the value, and I'll use round numbers, Dan, $1,250,000, and to have one built was $1,005,000. basically. So what is the requirement of the insurance, and do we know what that insurance cost will be?
I'm going to refer that to Kim Schirbano. She's our insurance expert.
Okay.
Hi, Skip.
Oh, I was trying to find you. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Okay, what the insurance cost will be for the new fire truck will be nothing this year. Now, next year, it can range as in what our fire truck costs this year, which is about $16,000 to $2,000 is what I'm looking at for next year's premium. Okay, for that Quinton, the 75 Quinton fire apparatus. They couldn't give me a total price until I was able to give them all the VIN number and how much we purchased it for and what we were looking at. So I didn't have that information. Mm-hmm. So they kind of gave me an estimate.
Okay.
Okay, does our insurance cover replacement cost? Auto is actually cash value, not replacement cost. Okay. And then you asked if we chose another loan. If we loaned out the truck to another community, what would our liability be covered under our insurance? It's like if you loaned your car out. It's under your insurance.
Got you.
Okay.
Okay, so to make sure I'm clear, we're looking at $1,250,000. So our insurance policy cost is only $1,600 to $2,000.
That's what we're paying on our what we pay on the truck we have as of right now.
Okay, yes. And the only reason I ask that question is because based on looking at this lease, you know, they're normally as a town, you know, we basically pay cash for our equipment, and we're leasing this, which is kind of technically a loan.
Right.
So they're the first person, if something is if that vehicle is destroyed, they're the first person to be reimbursed. So my understanding is the $1,600 to $2,000 is all we're going to have to pay on a $1,250,000?
Well, I'm taking it off what we're paying for our truck now.
But wouldn't that be based off of that value? And I'm not arguing the point. I'm just making sure we're covered.
I can't get a quoted price from them until I'm able to give them the VIN number, the purchase price, where it's being. They can't give me that information.
Okay, no, I understand. So. But again, my whole thought process is making sure that we have the insurance to cover the $1,250,000 to satisfy their requirement that's in the lease.
Correct.
Okay. Where'd Dan go? Let's see. You got that? Got that. Talked about that. We're good. In this lease, I know we had talked about it at the other council meetings, but at the end of the lease, we're only on the hook for $1, and that's our fire truck, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't see that in here.
Actually, there's no $1. That was the previous vendor was $1.
Okay, but once it's done, it's ours. Okay,
correct.
Just making sure. And then if you look on page number 3 again, under proposal expiration, it has October 15th. Yep. Today is the 17th. And my concern with that is if you look at the last page, it said that it could change after that expiration date. Are we comfortable that they're going to honor what we have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Bill?
If I could add to that real quick. Yeah, what you have here is the proposal, and that's, you could look at that as kind of like the report or the cover sheet or summary of what they're offering. The actual terms are in the contract. You know, so that's what we're going to go by. You know,
okay.
And we had the same issue with the last time. It was like a one-week turnaround. I mean, and that's their standard boilerplate language. We called them and let them know, you know, our council only meets once a week. You know, is that going to be an issue? And they said no. So we're not worried about that.
Just a couple of things. I noticed that this purchasing of this fire truck is not going to have any effect on our 2024-2025 budget because it's deferred, if I read it correctly, until November 4th, 2025.
Correct.
So now we're going to get into my question. In 24-25, this is the last year of our $300-some-odd-thousand-dollar thing. Are we going to be able to use any of that money to help defer the payment of the truck?
Yeah, I'll address that. Yeah, that's going to require a change. You're referring to the land acquisition fund. Yeah, the council will have to change the ordinance if it wants to allow that kind of thing. Right now, the ordinance limited to facilities and property, but not equipment. So that is something that, that was brought up, and the council directed us to
write
look
it down.
It I'm sorry?
Write it down.
Oh, yeah, we did.
No, for the ordinance.
No, the council directed us to look at that. If we had not had a hurricane, we'd have that too.
Decision
today.
On the 7-year compared to the 10-year. Because when I noted the 7-year difference is about $52,000 to $103,000. So,
Bill, can I
be making that decision?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was going to be something I wanted to discuss. There's no prepayment penalty under the lease document, so that if we go with the 10-year, the way I understand it, we could double up on payments. We could then do that rather than committing ourselves to 7 years. But we could go with the 10-year. There's no prepayment penalty, and then we just pay more when it's okay.
That's correct.
Okay, there you go, Bill. But we will make the decision now. I believe, if we're going to go with the 10-year or the 7-year, that'll be part of the motion. Okay? Anything else, Bill? Nothing. Okay. Anyone in the audience wish to ask any questions with respect to this agenda item? Yes, Mr. Field.
Steve Field, 6 Marzal. I guess I just want to hear, I didn't hear any numbers. I only heard words. So how much are we now, how much do we save, and
the numbers,
how much is the annual payment going to be?
Sure, okay. These are all in the staff report, but I'll go ahead and read them. Hold on. Okay, so under the 10-year term, 4.1% interest rate for 10 years with an annual payment of $157,139.79. Total interest over that term is $308,197.90 for a total payment of $1,571,397.90. For the 7-year term, that's at a 3.92% interest rate with an annual payment of $209,839.49. For a total interest payment of $205,676.43, and a total payment of $1,468,876.43. So the difference in the terms, what I think is going to be of interest to the council, is the annual payment difference. If you go with the 10-year option, that's $52,699.70 less per year than under the 7-year option. But the 7-year option saves you overall $102,521.50.
Yes.
Which, okay.
I vote for 7.
Excuse me?
I vote for 7.
Well, you vote for 7. Would you accept 10 years, but we double up payments or something at the time? Because
even at the same time, you're 3.92 versus 4.18. It's still going to cost you more money.
Yep.
But that's your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Field. Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on this agenda item? Okay. I don't see anyone else, so we'll close the public participation. So, is there somebody here prepared to make a motion? It'll be 2 motions, okay? The first one is whether we accept the finance bid proposal, and then the second one is the resolution. So, would anyone like to make that motion? Look at Bill.
I'll make a
motion. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. I make a I'm going to do suggestion motion number 1. I make a motion to approve the acceptance of the capital finance bid proposal from Cogent Leasing and Financing Incorporated for the 75-foot Quint fire apparatus.
You have to include our number of years.
For the 10 years.
Bill, for the 10 years.
Baiting.
I'm so sorry.
See, I really like what Steve's saying because I came up with those same numbers. So maybe I'm not the appropriate person to make it, because right now I feel comfortable with the 7 because of the 300 and some odd thousand dollars that we're going to be getting. If we do that ordinance change, we will have plenty of money in the budget without having to increase the budget for the 10 years. So I'm going to say, I'm going to make the motion Quint Fire Apparatus for 7 years.
Can I stop you for one moment? What I'd like to do, Cliff, help me, is that I'd like to table just to have a little bit more of a discussion of the 7 or the 10 years. What would I do with that?
Table it like for another meeting?
No. Just like this moment.
We're in discussion.
So I could do discussion right now.
Well, I can make
the motion. You get seconded, you're in discussion. Then you vote and it fails or it passes. Alternatively, he can withdraw the motion if he wants before it's seconded. But again, it doesn't matter. You're in discussion.
We're in That's discussion. Okay, because if, Bill, you're leaning then towards the 7 year because of the numbers.
Right, so
you are comfortable with it because of what you see down the road for us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do the other people feel about?
Well, don't we need to complete the motion first?
No.
And see if we get a second?
No. We got to discuss it first.
It hasn't been seconded. So right now there's a motion without a second. It dies for lack of a second.
Exactly.
And you're still in discussion. So
we're good.
We're going to discuss either way. I just want to make sure
we're discussing.
We're in line. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, Skip, yeah, what
I'll
are your thoughts?
You know, my thoughts are with Bill in the 7 year and the money savings for sure, but, you know, everything that we have all learned about fire equipment and fire trucks, we're looking at a 15-year lifespan. So I guess my train of thought is we have it paid off in 7 years. That gives us 8 more years to fully enjoy a fire truck that hopefully will continue for 15. So,
okay.
You know, I look at it those two ways, the money way and also the usage of the vehicle. It just feels better when you own something.
Okay. And so you're comfortable with the 7 years.
Yes. Yes.
Joe.
Yes, I'm comfortable with the 7 years also. Primarily because it's about $52,000 less a year, and the savings over the term of the contract is over $100,000.
Okay.
So seems to be a win-win to do that.
Gary?
Well, I actually like the 10 years because it gives us flexibility, and you don't know what's going to happen in the next 7 to 10 years of how you spend your money. But obviously, I'm in the minority, so it won't count.
Well, that had been my thought process, is 10 years, and we could still double up and pay if we have the money. However, I think I am comfortable with going with the 7 years. Now that we've discussed something additional, I am going to open this back up to the public if you would like to ask a question or comment on what we just discussed right now. Yes, Barbara.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Selfish Drive. So is there a prepayment penalty on the 7 years?
There's
either way we could pay more
if
we have more.
That had been my thought process. There's no prepayment penalty, so we could pay it off in 7 years on our own schedule and be in the same position as if we tied our hands to the 7 years. But if something comes up that makes us say, you know what, we shouldn't be doubling up, the situation has changed for the town for the next 2 years. We have that flexibility. That had been my thought process. But again, I think we're in the minority with that thought process. Right. What are your thoughts, Barbara?
No, I just thought that maybe you were favoring the 10-year because we could prepay.
Yes.
But if we can prepay on the 7 years, then definitely want to save the money because we can prepay if property values double again. Hooray.
Okay, no. Barbara raises an excellent point, which is we can prepay on the 7 years, too. So we may be in a better position if we can do that. Okay, so
do we know? Can we prepay on the 7 years?
Yes, there's no prepayment penalty. I'm sorry, let me defer to our attorney. That's correct. There's no prepayment penalty. Okay, so you had a motion that was for 7 years. Is there a second on Councilman Milano's motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Motion passes.
Well, thank you. Okay. So that was very well done. I appreciate this full discussion. Now we will move on for the approval of the resolution. A motion, please.
A motion to approve Resolution 2024-20, authorizing the town manager to proceed with entering into a lease purchase finance agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And Mr. Field, thank you very much for your comments as well. We're very appreciative. Barbara, too. Thank you.
I think it's the first time he and I have ever agreed.
That's probably true.
No, we appreciate the contribution. Thank you. We are up to 8B, request to dispose of fixed capital asset fire department Pierce mini pumper. Chief? Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon again. What you have before you typically would be a pretty routine consent agenda item, but since it has something to do with fire protection in the town and the way that this particular vehicle was acquired back in 2002, we felt it appropriate to bring it before council publicly to explain why we're doing what we're doing. This vehicle is what's called a mini pumper, which is an F450 with a pump body on it. It was required it was a requirement by my predecessor for Harbor Village when they were constructing those buildings. That chief at the time had the idea that they could drive this truck into the clover leaves and extinguish a car fire if something like that happened. That was that individual's opinion at the time. Typically, that's not how you would use this piece of apparatus. It's never been used for that function before. The fire protection in the clover leaves is meets the standards. It's sprinkled. There's standpipes. We would not fight a car fire with this piece of apparatus. Really, the only way it's been used over the years is kind of as a glorified brush truck, and it has been used a lot. We have used it for storm events like we did for Milton, but it really has very limited use for Ponce Inlet. It's our oldest vehicle. The pump is shot. It needs a rebuild. The diesel engine in it, I guess, is problematic. Every time we take it to the shop for repairs, they kind of snicker a little bit and say, you got another one out of this one. So we just felt at this point with the acquisition of the Quint and shuffling of apparatus in the station, which we'll talk about in the next agenda item, this was a good opportunity to let this vehicle go. We do have a $10,000 offer on it, but we're gonna put it out there and get the most that we can get for this vehicle. And we're just basically seeking permission to let it go.
Thank you, Chief.
Just one quick question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I have questions. But so just to be clear, Harbor Village is protected with the new Quinn. And I know you walked us through it before, but there's like some type of apparatus that it hooks up outside. Or can you quickly talk about that?
Great question. So the clover leaves are sprinkled. So there's an automatic sprinkler system in the clover leaves. Plus, there are standpipe connections if the fire exits from the clover leaf, the stairwells. There are standpipe connections. And if a fire started in that area, we'd be working out the standpipe connections. That's just what you do. It's standard firefighting operating procedures. It's a much safer way to operate and much more effective. So, yes, there's no detriment at all.
Good. Okay, Bill? Joe? Gary? No. Anything? Well, I agree that due to the age and the limited use with you, Chief, that it doesn't provide redundancy in a manner that suggests we keep it. So let me ask, does anyone in the public wish to speak, have an opinion, have a question? Okay. Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend approval of disposal of the fixed capital asset 2002 Pierce mini pumper and authorize its removal from the fleet.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we have a unanimous decision here. Thank you. Chief, request to retain the current fire engine as a reserve apparatus.
This item is really a continuation of when we first started the journey of purchasing the Quint replacement fire truck. The discussion of what to do with the current apparatus developed. And I got to be honest with you, it was a good exercise. Councilmember White asked some great questions, I mean, really good questions. And I think what I said at the ESAB meeting when we discussed this there was, you know, as a fire chief, I assume people have a certain level of understanding that maybe I have, and most people don't. So I appreciate the opportunity to, I don't want to say bring it down, but kind of simple, make it more simple as far as what we're trying to do and why we want to do what we do, so it makes sense. So I was given that opportunity, and we presented this information at the ESAB meeting and discussed it at that body. They had some questions in addition to the questions that are here. And long story short, with the disposition of the truck that we just got rid of and some what I called fire truck Jenga or Tetris at the fire station and working with Public Works, we're going to be able to store this vehicle in Ponce Inlet. So it's not going to have to go someplace else. We're not going to have to worry about another city or department having it or just out of our control. It's going to be here in Ponce Inlet. It's going to be maintained by our folks. It's going to be readily able to be put in use if it's needed. Would have loved it for Hurricane Milton if I had this truck or a second truck like it. Would have been fantastic. Cost to maintain this vehicle should be minimal. And you know, the cost that we've put into this vehicle so far, I kind of describe those as an investment in keeping it in the shape that it's in now. So ESAB recommended that we keep the vehicle as a reserve piece, and staff is continuing their recommendation, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, Chief, I just want to say thank you because, you know, a number of us heard the presentation at ESAB and the question and the answers and everything, and very appreciative of all of that information. It's clear, I know it was posted on our website so that people who may have had the same questions. So I thank you for all of that. I will ask, we have discussed this already. Do any council members have any questions right now on this? Joe? No? Skip?
Just a couple of few statements again. And Dan, thank you. This was so important to me. And Michael, thank you. This answered all the questions I had. And it actually, again, triggered some more thoughts that I had, but, you know, keeping the fire truck here, when Michael and I had that discussion, I told him, I said, you know, I have chill bumps. And I really meant that because the biggest issue I had with it going outside of the city limits of Ponce Inlet and being stored is our residents paid for that. That's an asset that would be outside of our presence. And so that kind of bothered me a little bit, but when Michael told me that, that meant a lot. The other thing that popped up was a memorandum of understanding. And to me, that was another key piece of this because, you know, and I mean this the right way, the fire chiefs had a gentleman's agreement that they were covered under insurance. If something happened, they were responsible for maintenance. They were responsible for upkeep. Anything that happened to that vehicle, it was a gentleman's agreement. And I did talk to a friend of mine that's a pretty good attorney, and I asked him, I said, you know, without the MOU, would we still be responsible? Of course, he did the attorney's normal answer and said, I would cast a large net and see what I caught, but that MOU would definitely help the town. It's not going to save the town, but it would help the town. So, you know, once we get to the point, I would like to be the one to make the motion because I have a couple of caveats I'd like to put on that. But, Dan, again, fantastic job on this. Again, I hope we use this moving forward. Thank you.
And if I could just comment, and this, you know, the work that we put into this stuff, I can use this again. If somebody asks a question, why do we do what we do? Here you go. It was a benefit to us, too, and I appreciate the opportunity. To your point about the MOU, ironically, and I discussed this at ESAB a little bit, we have a gentleman's agreement, as long as they're gentlemen. And people come, people go, not everybody has the same mindset that we always have in perpetuity. And one of the things that we have discussed amongst the Southeast Fire Chiefs is having a formal MOU when we borrow an ambulance, we borrow a fire truck. It's a little bit more formal arrangement, so that is something definitely we are going to be doing.
Thank you, Chief. Bill?
No, I'm good.
No?
I'm Gary? Ready.
You're ready. Okay. Well, I just, you know, want to state that I'm very appreciative, Dan, because my opinion is to retain it. I mean, the balance, well, you balance those interests. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to comment or ask any questions about this agenda item? Okay. You're on, Skip.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve the retention of the current fire engine as a reserve apparatus with the following stipulations. Number one, the reserve fire apparatus, the 2009 unit, be stored within Ponce Inlet city limits. Number two, a clear memorandum of understanding, MOU, interlocal agreement be clearly defined and brought back to the council for approval.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Okay, item 9, we have no public hearings or quasi-judicial matters. We are now up to 11A. Nothing with agenda item 10. We're up to item 11A, ordinance 2024-06, a first reading amending section 2.40 of permitted uses. And I would ask Cliff to please read this resolution by title only.
Yes, ma'am. Ordinance 2024-06, read by title only. An ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Land Use and Development Code, Article 2, Zoning District, Section 2.40.1, Interpretation of Uses and Structures Permitted, Table 2-5, Table of Permitted Uses, adding farmers markets as a major special exception use to the public institutional zoning district, providing for codification, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Our Planning Development Director, Darren Lear, will present this item.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. This item in front of you now is in response to the Council's directive to amend the Land Use Development Code to allow farmers markets as a special exception in the PI Public Institutional Zoning District. Earlier this year, we as staff received a written request from Ponce Inlet Community Center Board of Trustees requesting the farmer market be added as a special exception in the PI zoning district. Your LUDC amendments, per your LUDC, amendments are initiated in one of three ways: sponsored or directed by a town council member, or proposed by staff to implement in the comp plan or changes to state law, or through a paid application from a member of the public. Town Council directed staff to move forward with amending the LUDC to allow farmers markets as a permitted special exception use in the PI zoning district at the June 4 special meeting with the Planning Board. This proposal permits farmers markets in this zone as a major special exception for which it must be heard by the Planning Board and Town Council. We have 17 properties within town limits that are zoned PI. Those include municipal-owned facilities and parks and private scientific facilities. That's the Battelle properties. Only three of these 17 properties are proposed for the permitted farmers markets. That's the Community Center property, Fire Station, and the Timothy Pollard Memorial Park, as these properties are town-owned and adjacent to each other, which could provide room for a larger market area. The Planning Board reviewed the proposed amendment at its regularly scheduled meeting on September 24th. A motion to recommend approval of the amendment failed with two members voting in favor, two members voting against the motion, and one member abstaining, and two members were not present. It's important to note that the adoption of this LUDC amendment does not automatically allow farmers markets at the community center. It only allows the community center board to apply for a special exception to this location, which is a separate application process. As a major special exception, the application would first be reviewed by staff, then by the Planning Board for a recommendation, and then by the Town Council for a final decision. Also, your comp plan states that the future land use category of public institutional includes lands used for any lawful government activity or facility of federal, state, and local governments, which are particularly and peculiarly related to serving the public welfare. Additionally, it includes areas used for quasi-public and private activities or facilities which will serve the public interest in an educational, recreational, or scientific context. With that, staff recommends approval.
Thank you very, very much. I just want to say a few things first before I turn it over to council. I want to thank you, Mr. Lear. I want to thank the planning department staff for the work they put forth on this agenda item. You know, I attended the planning board meeting on September 24th and had the opportunity to review the audio recording as well. And I do want to thank the planning board members for your work on this item. However, I do believe that some clarification regarding special exceptions may be needed. Before us today is a decision by this council as to whether a farmer's market is essentially in the best interests of our community. And the issue before us is whether this proposed ordinance, as written, is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the town's visioning statement. That is the issue before us. Is that's correct?
Correct.
Correct. What is not before us are extraneous matters pertaining to any of the following: conflicts between an existing and potential future market, negotiations or relationships between vendors and organizers of these events, internal deliberations or votes by the picky board, requirements for or the existence of a compelling need that may or may not exist, semantics over the language and correspondence between the picky board and the staff and or organizers of an existing market. Now, if you listen to the audio recording of the September 24th planning board meeting, you will hear that the debate included several of the topics I just listed. Just prior to the actual vote, though, one of the members, as well as the attorney, focused the decision back on the one central and relevant question: is a farmer's market or is it not in the interest of our community? And again, if you listen to the audio of the meeting, some clarification regarding the difference between a variance and a special exception is in order. Unlike a variance, a special exception is not a quasi-judicial proceeding. A variance applies to a specific property, whereas a special exception applies to a category, in this case to the public institutional use. And lastly, a variance requires that a set of specific criteria be met, right? A special exception does not set forth specific criteria like a variance, but rather a determination by us. It's a determination of whether the proposed use of a category of properties or is not in the best interest of our community. Section 2.12 of our Land Use Development Code states that public institutional zoned properties must serve the public interest. This circles back to the question that is before us that we're going to discuss. Does a farmer's market or does it not serve the public interest? Now, for additional guidance on our decision making, we look to the town's visioning statement, which refers to a small town community where people feel safe. We have easy access to small scale businesses. And with that, I'm prepared to turn this over for discussion, remembering the basis of the recommendation of the staff of why they recommend this particular change, that it is consistent with our comp plan and with our visioning statement. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the council for discussion and then the public. And Joe, you can start. I know you were also at the planning board.
Yeah, I don't sense any conflict with the request, only because as I read it and as I understand it, it is limited specifically to the use of Picky as a facility to request that exception, and no one else in town, unless it's appropriately put before the council.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yes. So you're comfortable with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Skip.
And yes, Mayor, I'm very comfortable with it because, again, I think the key that we're talking about is servicing the residents of Ponce Inlet. And based on what we have heard, been told, had request, they want to be serviced at that location. So I think we're doing an injustice if we don't approve this and then let Picky go through their process, but what we're looking at, from my understanding, is we're looking at putting the avenue out there for this to happen. We're not saying it will happen.
Correct. It gives them the opportunity to have one if they so choose, and then their request goes to the planning board, where they would have, the planning board has the ability to address size, location, date, all of that. Is that correct?
Correct. But they would be making a recommendation
to for council for because it's
approval.
Our property then.
Correct.
So those are the steps
yes.
in with this. Okay. Bill?
Yeah. I mean, we discussed this at a joint meeting. We discussed this at a general meeting. We're the ones that asked the planning board to put the package together. I feel that with that complete understanding, since it was basically started by us, we have to support it.
Okay, so you're comfortable with supporting.
I'm comfortable the way it was written.
Yes.
Because it doesn't say, oh, yeah, this is it. You've got it. It's this is it. Now you have to apply for it. And I think that's the key.
Yes,
yes I agree.
Well, and I agree with what's already been said. And it, to me, is an extension of the food trucks that have been there periodically, and those have always been a success, and they keep coming back. So I believe it meets all the criteria that we need.
Thank you, Gary. And I'll open it to the public. I know we have a number of people here who wish to speak on it. I'm opening to the public now.
Is it closed, Darren?
Yes, Mr. Carney.
Six Rains Court, and I'm also a member of the planning board, and we reviewed this item in September. My concern with this doesn't really have to do with the things that you brought up as you reflected on the discussion there, and I don't think that the town council nor the planning board has any role in refereeing who runs the farmers market, and I don't want to litigate that here. However, my concerns with this have to do with process discipline, and I brought this up at the last meeting with respect to how this town does purchasing. And I think that the town purchasing needs some improvements, and we discussed those last time. The planning department, however, have always been pleased with the processes that have been used there, and that they are mature, and that the people in the planning department are very professional. What they bring us has been very well staffed. But in this case, I don't believe that is the case, and I think that the staff work was incomplete. And my concern is that, you know, if we treat people differently and we don't apply processes equally to everyone, you know, then we're inviting trouble down the road. And this town currently has at least three open lawsuits, and I think that we need to be very careful in every aspect of the way we deal with applicants and the way we deal with the public, and that we don't invite anything in the future. And when the processes that we've used in the past aren't followed, then I think we're opening the town up to those things. The biggest concern I have with this is that the very foundation of this request is this letter that came to the planning board and came to you from the Ponsonby Community Center. There's no date on it, but from what I've been able to gather, I think it dates back until February of 2024. And it basically says that the community center is working with the Ponsonby Farmers Market, and that the farmers market is homeless, and that we're trying to find some alternative places. Right now, zoning doesn't allow the community center to host it, and we'd like to rectify that, and that's all fine. However, you know, I also understand that Mr. Lear, subsequent to that, was given an email from the Ponce Inlet Community Center president, Ms. Kimberly Canny, in March, withdrawing this. Is that true?
Please just, if you could direct it. Oh. You come on up and clarify.
Patty Rippey, principal planner. I just wanted to clarify that I just wanted to clarify that the March letter was asking to take back the application for a special event application, not the request for the zoning amendment.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Mr. Carney?
Well, nonetheless, the understanding was that there was definitely concern on the part of the Ponsonlet Community Center board that they didn't have the staff to go and run this event, right? And so that was going on. And then at our meeting, more things came out that indicated that they had changed back again. But nonetheless, the contents of this letter didn't seem to be true, because there didn't seem to be any intention of working with the farmers market. And so I just would appreciate it if staff brings me something that is valid, and I think this is not valid, whether it was formally pulled back in the March 11th email or whether it wasn't. The contents of it are not true today. I think we can all agree to that. And so I don't like having it in front of me as a board member as the basis, as a foundation. When the foundation is faulty, then everything built on top of it likewise is faulty. And the second thing is, I haven't seen what your proposal looks like now, but when it came to planning board, there were three properties that were included in this exemption request. One of them was the Timothy Pollard Park, which is where the pickleball courts and the tennis courts are, and there's a playground. One was a fire station, and then one was a community center. Now, when the existing farmers market came in front of the planning board for review, the staff did a great job looking at it. They looked at how much space is required. They required 32 parking places to be available, because you've got trucks, you've got trailers, you've got people visiting, you've got tents set up for this. It takes a lot of space. And so at the planning board meeting, I questioned, why would we put Timothy Pollard Park in this? There are 7 parking places there, 6 regular, 1 handicap spot, and there's a field. But, I mean, the week prior, there was a farmer's market, and it was pouring down rain. You can't really have these trucks driving through a town field to be setting up. It's going to tear the field up. And so that Timothy Pollard Park, I mean, and people use that on the weekend to play pickleball. They don't want a farmer's market set up there, taking all the parking so they can't park and go use the tennis courts and pickleball courts. So I don't understand why that was included. And likewise, the fire station, you know, it's active in being a fire station on the weekend as well as it is during the week. And so there aren't 32 spaces available there either. So I don't see equal application of what we looked at prior to this situation. And I'd like to see that. And the third thing concerns Mark Obeck, who is a member, unfortunately he's not here today, but he's a member of the planning board.
You can continue for maybe, you need another 3 minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay, go ahead.
But he's also on the Ponsonlet Community Center board as well, and that's all fine. But my concern, again, is process related, and I didn't make it to the joint meeting in June with the town council and the planning board, but I understood he sat with you all, and he advocated on behalf of the Ponsonlet Community Center as a board member, correct? I wasn't there.
I cannot give you an accurate answer right now. Is that yes?
Okay, so, and then at our meeting, he recused himself from voting. However, he sat and he spoke, and he gave some very useful information. It was very helpful. However, my problem is this, is that I think if a board member has a conflict of interest, that just like in this meeting, you all get to have all the discussion you want. You don't have a clock. You can say everything that you want as many times as you want, and that's all good. You're elected officials. You have that authority. But then as the public or as the applicant, we get to come up when you invite us. But that wasn't done here. He was sitting there as an applicant with all the time, all the benefits of being a board member advocating for the applicant. And just in the future, I would like to see that if someone on the board has a conflict, that they're not sitting there as an advocate. They can come over on this side of the podium and say all they want when they're invited to by the chair, but they shouldn't be allowed to sit there with 2 hats on.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. I am going to ask our attorney, my understanding is that if somebody has a conflict sitting on a board, they're still permitted to to interact?
Yeah, they're permitted to discuss. They just can't vote. They have to declare the conflict. They're supposed to declare not only that they have a conflict, but what the conflict is about, and then file the form, which I think it's called 8B, within 15 days of the date of the meeting.
But they can't, under the rules.
Discussion is fine.
Discussion is permissible.
Well, I'm glad to hear that's the rule, because that's what was done. So that's a positive, but I disagree with that take because I think that applicant then has a leg up by having a board member, and I don't think that's how we should do business in this town, personally.
Well, thank you, Mr. Carney.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the? I see. Yes. Oh, I go ahead, Chair. Oh.
J.R. Kessler, 81 Bushman Drive. Of course, I would like to say that we think a farmer's market is beneficial for the residents. I would be amiss if I didn't say that first. But I'm here to express once again my concern that this town is too small to host two farmer markets on the same day, Sunday. And I think this conflict is really what this is all about for me. It would only be confusing and divisive for residents and vendors and would not count as good business competition. My partner and I have never had an objection to hosting a farmer's market at the Picky, although much detail would have to be worked out regarding parking availability for the churchgoers, residents, and vendors, and not to mention the management of vendors. As you all know, we were never given the chance to meet with Picky to see how we could work this out together. So to go to the Kim Canny letter, which is, let's see, which one is this? This is the March 1st, yes. So this was when, at the February, I believe it was the February 29th town hall meeting, they announced that Picky wanted to have the farmer's market. This was absolutely news to us, but we thought this was wonderful, and we talked to them, and they said yes. And as you can see, the email that was sent to me showing me the application and the enthusiasm Picky had for working with us for the farmer's market. Then the next one was the letter that we only received by copy from Darren Lear, saying that they were not in a position to host the farmers market. Again, we were never told this directly. And then this was the correspondence between us and Kim, because we were quite shocked at the way this was withdrawn. And again, having made requests to meet with them to discuss the farmers market, it was entirely refused. Not just refused, it was just ignored. I sent... Let me see which one this is. This is part of it. And then we went to... This was a memo that I sent in advance of the planning board meeting on September 24th. And I feel that since they did fail to pass the movement, that you should table this first reading, since the correct procedure would be to send the item back to the planning committee for Picky to appeal their failed vote on September 24th. So we do not understand why this farmers market is even an issue for this town, given that it has been operating smoothly for 2 years now. And we do not wish to see the town council amend the permitting for Picky. We hope that you will put an end to this matter, because of the way it has been handled, is conflictual for our community, and I believe it is time to put this town over individual agendas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Delphine Pinet for Beacon Court. I'm here just because not simply as a permanent resident here, but also as a vendor of the farmers market. I'm the owner of French Tradition, and I'm preparing fresh, big, fresh actually pastries for each market. So I just would like to consider the town about this permanent and weekly farmers market for the good business of the vendors. As of today, we have, so now we are in the new location, and we have noticed a significant decrease of the attendance of the Ponce-Inlet resident, which affect negatively, of course, the business of all the vendors. So we hope that the town will find a workable solution for everyone, and in order to get a weekly farmers market and not the random dates that we have for now. The reason why we think the vendors, because I'm not the only one reporting this, but we talk with different residents as well, and between the vendors, and people are losing track of the dates of the farmers market right now. So that's one reason that the attendance of residents is decreasing a lot. So when a town has a weekly farmers market, it's easier for the for the residents in order to, I mean, attend, or maybe not every week, but at least they don't have to ask them the question, do we have a market, yes or no, today? And I have a simple example from one of my customers that went to the market and was not able to find any market the day he thought we had the market. So I hope that also up to now, as the vendors, we have not been able to bring our voice to this discussion. And I think that as a regular vendor, I hope that the town will be able to help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
Nicole Carr, 41 Jana Drive. I am with Jer Kessler. We started the farmers market 2 years ago. I wasn't going to say anything because Jer covered pretty much everything, but I am, the things that the vendor just said are not correct. We have a great location, a great partnership with Northern. Everyone likes it. I have vetted my time. I have an avid golfer. I do not go to her matches on Sundays because at 5 in the morning I'm dealing with vendors 24/7. It's not just let's open up the space, as Mr. Obeck has said in meeting minutes. Just have a place. We work with Justin Wood with the Department of Health to make sure everyone has licenses. We make sure everyone's happy. Northern's very happy. And we have talked to every vendor. So there are some vendors that are not happy because it's not weekly, because they're not being able to have their things. We've asked about different vendors, and there are some vendors that don't want to come back. Some have been ill, or some have gone or started their own. I'm here because we've never had a problem. And for her to say the voice of the vendor's not heard, Marco Beck sent on May 11th, an email to all our vendors. He was poaching our vendors in January and February, going to them, getting their information to tell them the market's moving. They came to us. I have the emails that I can present to you, and asked us why they're moving. And I said, we're not moving. We're going to go to Northern. And then at the town council, everyone said the picky, which we talked to people, and we said, fine. I don't have to do it. I just wanted time to meet, and Jared did too. If you're going to take it over, keep it where you're doing. You brought up food trucks. I started the food trucks. Very proud of that. They don't have them. Have you had one this year? No. So don't say it's because of the food trucks, because they haven't been back either. And people ask me about that. And I'm no longer on the board. As I told you before, I resigned when my mom passed away, because I did it because she had asked me to, and part of the community. But my point here is that we have a farmers market. People are very happy. I do know the people they're talking about that aren't happy. They're saying Skip's been told this, so people wanted the picky. Yeah, we wanted it at the picky too. But Marco Beck and Kim Canny, which you are very well aware, all of you are, because you have been forwarded all the information in February and March, they refused to meet with us. Kim sent the letter to Darren Lair that they did not want picky to be rezoned, not just their special exemption. They did not want to hold the picky because they had volunteers, and we have an email Jared just showed that Kim said her volunteers, as we know they are volunteers, will not work Sundays. It's not just Sunday. I have tons of texts this week getting this Sunday ready, on top of a donation drive my 15-year-old's doing for the hurricane victims. So it's a lot more work than just saying, okay, you have a space. It's not like that at all. I think the biggest problem for us is, and as the future of this town and my daughter and John's son and whoever else's children are in high school and college right now, is there is certain ways these are done in this town, and this is one